We'll begin. There's Nicole, our hostess. Hi, Nicole and David. So let me find now this Shabbat, right? This Shabbat is the Shabbat before Purim. I'm just moving this camera up, sorry. So this Shabbat is just before Purim, or Purim will be Thursday night and Friday next week. I hope to be sending people a PDF of a leaflet about Purim. I hope to be doing that at some point. It's difficult this year. If one is able to hear the Megillah at a synagogue is the best thing, or if someone comes and reads it in your, you know, near your home or something that you can hear it. So the United Synagogue right here in London, I say, if you're reading a real Megillah, so if you hear a phone or on Zoom, what is happening at that minute, not resting on it, off the Megillah rather than the actual Megillah, but maybe find someone who will actually read the Megillah. Usually if you can contact Chabad, wherever you are, and see. Now Haman, who is the villain of the Megillah and the whole story of Purim, who wanted to destroy all the Jewish people, he was descended from the tribe of Ham, called Haman Ha'agagi, and Agag was the king of Amalek. And so therefore, this Shabbat, there's a second Zachoret Hashem Asalech Amalek, the Derech Betzevchim, and it came out of Egypt. That means they attacked them. Another way of translating, they dampened your enthusiasm. Vayezanev b'chol kol anecht, all those who were struggling behind you, v'ata ayef yageya you, v'haya b'haniyach Hashem Elokech lecha, and it will be when God is giving you, achalam l'rishta, as an inheritance, that's the land of Israel, the memory of Amalek, and it's both again. So that is, the actual story of Amalek was in the Torah a few weeks ago. Instead of embarrassing, V'yavu Amalek v'ilachenim yisrael b'lefidim, Amalek came, and then Moses says to Joshua, choose people and go from the staff of God. And Joshua said, did this, Amalek. U'moshe Aaron b'chur. Now Moses, Aaron, and they went to the top of the hill. So there's this battle taking place in the valley. Stretched out his hands. V'hayah, and it was. Ka'asher yarid up his hands. V'gava Yisrael. Then, v'shaniach yado, when his hands dropped, and the hands of Moshe were heavy. It was hard for him. So therefore, they took a big stone, a boulder, and he sat on it. Aaron and the two people with him, Aaron, they held his arms, till sunset. And the whole time that his brother Joshua, who is leading the actual battle, he was able to do. So these texts are one, also Talmudic texts, which is quoted by Rashi, holding up his arms in this way, and it says that when Moses held out them, because they were thinking of God, they were able to be victorious in the battle. So that's the that's the text he played on the piano, and meanwhile. From Shabbat Parshat Vayikra, which was Parshat Zachor. Now, our said in 1970, when there was an exo, we are in the only Adah, but the discourse actually doesn't refer, I don't think, to this conquering Amalek as something going to battle against lost. Is it okay if you read the Megillah yourself, parchment? Then that's that would be a kosher thing. Yeah. Now, Zachor et Hashem Asalech Amalek, Torah scroll, which is going to be read this week. Remember on the route when you came out of Egypt. Now reading this, which is from, it's called the section of Remorian called Yosef Yerushalmi, wrote a famous book called Zachor, Jewish Life. And here we're remembering a negative thing, and sometimes they're negative. So I'm reading of this section, which is from Deuteronomy. Connected with the story told in Beshalach, in Exodus, which the second text we looked at. Vayavo Amalek, that Amalek came, vayilachem in Yisrael, and they battled with Israel, the Jewish people, Berefidim, at a place called Refidim. Rashi comments, it's called Refidim because Rafu Yadeim, their hands became weak in terms of keeping Jewish law and mitzvot. And so they were weak, and because of that, Amalek was able to attack them. Umamshich bakatov, but that's not the focus of the discourse here. The focus of the discourse is this whole image of Moses holding up his arm, his hands. And the question, what is that effect for the Jewish people then, for us today? And there's beautiful contemplative poem, in a sense, in this discourse. It's relative. It's a kind of a poem, a mental concept. It's got like three parts to it. And it's something that one can use in daily life, especially in prayer and contemplation, meditation. But it could be when you're waiting at bus stops in our COVID time, or going a well advised thing to do, or taking the dog for a walk. So you could think about it then. So it says there. That when Moses lifted up his hands, the Jewish people prevailed against Amalek. Then they were winning. Now, in fact, this idea of the battle of Amalek also concerns the future. As it says, Milchama Lashem b'Amalek midor dor. As it says that there is a battle for God with Amalek through the generations. So it applies. There's some sense in which the battle with Amalek applies to us, and this is where we're trying to understand how that applies. The Itals, and we learn about this by Mechilta in the Midrash called Mechilta, Uva Mishnah, and in the Mishnah. Is it that what effect do the hands of Moses have when he's lifting up his hands? We're not talking about some kind of magical relationship. Eila lomelecha, but this teaches us. Kol zman she Yisrael mistaklin klape maila, when the Jewish people would look upwards, in other words, remembering God, hayumit gabrim, they would be more powerful. And if the opposite, if the hands of Moses were weaker and he couldn't hold them up, the Jewish people forgot to look upwards to God. Okay, it's another question. Why do we need Moshe? Why is it that Moshe helps us look up towards God? That's part of the whole relationship between the Jewish people and the Moses of the generation and the Moses inside us. You see, inside us, there is also a Moses. And it's that Moses inside us which prompts us to look up towards God. Now, the Tzarich Lahavin, now we have to ask a question. Footnote. We have to understand. Mao particularly with this battle against Ramat Yadav Shel Moshe, they were victorious through Moses. We didn't find this with the other battles that they had. They had lots of battles. And later on in the Torah, there are all kinds of battles the Jewish people get into. But earlier battles as well. There are battles with them in the earlier periods of Abraham. There was the battle that Abraham had. Keneged Abraham. There were the four kings who conquered the five kings. One of the five kings was and they captured Lot, Abraham's nephew, and Abraham had to come along of this kind. Then we have Jacob, she hit against Esau. The chaim ba milchamot shel achre zeh, kama supa ba Tanakh, and yichut bedrashot kazal, and at length in the explanations of the sages, we don't see this anywhere else. It's only in this battle with Amalek. Ubepchatiyut yoter, and in more detail. Hinei ha'inyan demistaklim klapi ma'ila, the idea of looking above. What does that mean? Hu inyan ha'bitachon ba'ashem. It's the idea. Heipach ha'inyan dekochi ve'otzim yadi. It's the opposite of the idea of my strength and my power, the power of my hand. Uchamayim razalas, the sages tell us, ilmalei ha'kadosho, if God didn't help a person, we wouldn't be able to succeed. That's even talking about in our own inner battles. And so trusting in God is a crucial concept. The inyan zeh tzarich liyot b'chol milchama. Trusting God has to be with every battle that we have, every struggle, every personal issue that we have, struggling in life. As it says, especially about a real battle, v'hayak korav chemel ha'milchama, come close to battle, that there's a special person, a Kohen, who has the job, the Kohen, he's called the Kohen Moshuach Milchama. He's the priest who inspires people when coping with war. V'dibe la'am, he should speak to the people, levavchem, don't let your hearts be weak. Ki Hashem elokechem, because the Lord your God, ha'olech lifnechem, lo'hoshia etchem, he's going to save you. Uktiv, and another verse, Ki Hashem elokechem, Lord your God is walking bekerev machanecha, within your camp, la'atzilcha, to save you, v'haya machanecha kadosh, and therefore your camp should be holy because you're in the presence. As Maimonides writes, u'me'achas she'yikanes b'kishrei ha'milchama, once one will yisha'en al mikvei Yisrael u'moshiyo. You should rely, one should rely on the hope of Israel, that means on God. V'hainu, and that means, she'tzarich lifdoch b'Hashem, that one has to trust in the milchama, that one will certainly win the war. Now that applies literally to wars, and Amfiyah comes, for Mashiach. But when one looks around the world at this moment, it looks as if it needs Mashiach. I was teaching with a group of year 11 girls, and we were looking at the Quran, and we were reading a newspaper commentary on the two sides who are battling are the Taliban versus the amount of suffering that is taking place. Unfortunately, particularly with many, many children being killed and accounts of an ambulance with a suicide driver, a suicide bomber, and it blew up and killed many people. A film by the BBC, you have an ambulance taking a woman who's in labor, taking her to hospital. So it's stopped by security forces from the government, the Afghanistan government, who assert the whole vehicle and her, because they're afraid she might be wearing a suicide bomb belt or something like that. You know, I just can't see a solution. Maybe this would happen, but that wouldn't be a solution. Maybe that would happen, that wouldn't be a solution. That Mashiach would be a solution. So that would be the solution. So there's a lot of wars, unfortunately, with people fighting against each other with physical weapons, spiritual battles, struggles of different kinds, and then a personal battle and trusting in God and having God help one. So as it said, ki teitzela milchama alovecha, when you go out for your enemy. V'lo im ovecha, it doesn't say go out to battle with your enemy. Chatchila, that the person should feel that in fact, from the very beginning, they're al ovecha, they're mimena, over it, over him. V'hayin she'en lo shaychut le'otam adrachim ban hagot, he doesn't have to worry about all the different things the enemy is doing. He's above them. So so it puts in brackets here. If one have to worry about those things, then it would be one nation attacks the other. But the way in which the Torah puts it is that for you, it's going to be, you're going to be over your enemy. It's only that the battle should be in a natural way. It shouldn't be all the time. Therefore, and carries out all the strategies of battles. That we're dealing with. Joshua conquered them with the sword. Generals who would come and meet the Rebbe, have a private audience with a certain general, had been talking with the Rebbe, and when he came out of the Rebbe, some people asked, what are you about? So the effect of the viscosity of sand on tank tracks. That war, in the desert, when you're riding a tank in the desert, then you sand. So in other words, one can come down into the Neshua, the Hashem, God, the person knows, he is higher than the enemy, into one's hand, and that's in all kinds of different areas of life. Now, I've spoken a lot here, talk about this. Has anyone got any points? Just that one day. I think it was that one day, until any other comments? Rebellion?
No, I think people kind of should be right.
Well, Hashem, yeah. Hashem is putting the persons that they face, can you're over the problem. You're
when the general came out of the river, he said, precautions have to be taken in a certain strong sense. And what should it be? Like a general, it's not something new like a river. He said, God will help, God will help. So I said, I'm speaking with Westin, do you anything? I'm just leaving.
So,
he said, yeah, you know,
I described this as a pub, just as an Hebrew, and I did not sound it's going to come.
Is it what in place? And together.
That's a good point. Okay, so now we're going back to sharing screen. Now, Bezehu, but just on the... That's what it means, the Jewish people looking above. But we're going to be here of trust in God. Which means has thinking in a strong way. We're going to... But we have Jewish people looking upwards towards God. To the lifting up of Moses' hands. Particularly with the battle, the other battle, Yadod, that it was when Moses held his hands up. That's when she is at first quote, that idea of gazing towards the divine, of looking upwards. Anyway, surely, it's the time of the splitting of the Red Sea, the after the sea, and they went through and they were saved from the Egyptians. They said, Zerkeli, my God, I will make a dwelling for him in my heart. I recognize God. So they recognize God, Gam Lelo, even without Moses lifting up his hands. It's true that at the sea staff, but that was a different thing. It was in order to split the sea. It wasn't that people should look at his staff. What's the reason? Amalek looking, Shel Yisrael, looking klape maila, looking above towards the divine, through the fact of Moses lifting up his arms. Now we're in section Bet, which is on page Zayin, page 7. The Yuvan, now we'll understand this. Okay, this is where we're beginning to come to the poem. But this will be understood by Hakdim, Masha Milchemet Hamalek Haita, the fact that the battle against Amalek, or the battle with Amalek who attacked them, Haita Kasher B'nei Yisrael, when they were out of Egypt. The Hine Yadua, now it's known, Katuv B'Kitvei Arizal, what it says in the writings of Rabbi Isaac, great Kabbalah, and he wrote, Shemitzrayim, Egypt, who Meitzar Hagaron, is the narrowness of the throat. You see, Mitzrayim, in the word Mitzrayim, there's narrowness, that word, like Meitzar means straits, like the straits, a very narrow place. So that word Meitzar is in the word Mitzrayim, Egypt. Egypt, who Meitzar Hagaron, it represents the narrowness of the throat, of the neck, which interrupts between the mind and the emotions. The person is the mind. And the heart is the realm of the emotions. And do the of the mind flow down into the heart? Ideally, they would. A person would be thing in their mind, and it flows down into their heart, and they feel genuine, positive feeling on account of what's in their mind. Unfortunately, very place, and there's a gap. We can understand something in our mind, and it's even quite interesting in our transfer to our emotions. And since it doesn't transfer to our emotions, it doesn't transfer to our actions either. Va'inyan bazan, what this dua sheyesh arba otiyon, and vav and hey, and those four letters sheheim keneged eses sfirot, they can correspond. Va'inyanam ba'nefesh, and what they mean in the soul, we're now translating the divine into the soul of the person or the being of the person. Hu esa hakochot, their soul powers. Sheyesh b'chol nefesh elokit, which is in every divine soul. Comes and explains in tongue. Sheheim shalosh imot, it punctuates it here, v'shivat yimei habinyan, and the 7 days of the structure of the creation. It means there's wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Those are the three imot, the three key 7 further aspects, which are the emotions. And those are mochin umidot, the mind and the emotion. So there we have those 10 sfirot, 10 divine attributes inside the soul of each individual. Ubichlalut yoter, taking it in a more general way, hu inyan kochot pnimim, this means souls are inward soul powers, and surrounding soul powers. And the inward soul powers, heim nefesh ruach neshama, are the 3 aspects of the soul that we call, now all these words in Hebrew mean soul. And it's to find exactly the English words, ruach neshama, each one of them could be translated soul, spirit, and neshama. They're 3 words which all mean soul, and they are deeper and deeper dimensions. So these are the inward levels. These 3 dimensions of soul, nefesh, ruach, the soul, the spirit, and the neshama, let's call them that. The kochot makifin and the surrounding forces, heim chaya yechida, they are on a higher chaya yechida, 2 higher aspects of soul. So there's 5 words for soul. For example, in Yom Kippur, when there are 5 prayers, there's the eve prayer, musaf, mincha, and then there's ne'ilah. One by one, our aspects of the soul are revealed during those prayers till we have the deepest aspect, yechida, which is expressed at ne'ilah, at the final climactic prayer on Yom Kippur. So, in other words, we have these 5 inner dimensions, which are nefesh, ruach, and neshama, and then the transcendent. Now, line 18, v'hine inyan ha-miut. Now, the idea of this inward starts with the power of understanding. Shehu, grasping an idea. That which comes before bina, before understanding, wisdom, chokhmah. But here he explains that what wisdom is, shehu inyan ha. It's a lightning flash, v'hanekuda, a dot, just a chma, and that's wisdom. It's not yet on an inward level.
No.
It's a light of knowledge. Shaharei inyan ha-pnimiyut, because when we're talking about inward understanding, haynu shu'adam hu bal ha-bayit al zeh, it means the person owns that. Nowadays, we talk about people owning a certain concept in education theory, you know, the pupil. So the Rebbe is 50 years ago is speaking about this, that the person has to buy, means the owner, the householder. That's he's the owner of this concept. The person doesn't own it. It's like a revelation from beyond. כמו שאנו רואים, as we see, שההברקן נופלה, the lightning flash comes of itself. The Rebbe is here talking about the whole creative flash comes, you can have a person, he wants to write a discourse, a poem, but let's talk a little bit about a person writing a poem. So the person wants to write a poem. You know, have people, you know, every morning, you know, first thing they do in the morning after davening or whatever, you know, and it doesn't come. Nothing comes. Then they try again tomorrow. And they, oh, a lightning. Suddenly they've got this idea and they sit down and they write it. And so the hush comes by itself. The Gambasha, now we're going on to page head. But not ready for it. If a person, after getting up in the morning and davening, he's like prepared for it. But this might be in a completely different situation. He's doing something completely different. Nonetheless, the idea comes to him. Want the idea at this moment. It's not yet an inward thing. It's something surrounding. It's transcending, and nonetheless, it's very significant. But it's the understanding, the grasping, b'chinat bina, the idea of understanding, shuhuit pashtut lifchatim, which takes this transcendent concept and draws it down, and it goes into different details. Shahadam u'bala, that's what the person unit. Imatchil inyan apnimiyut, and from this begins the idea of inwardness. Madrigat neshama, shebenefesh ruach neshama. And that is the level of thing. This is the inwardness, which is understanding, shebenefesh ruach neshama, with the soul, with the, using the word neshama, the neshama of God, understand. Shehu inyan havana v'hasaga. So this understanding is a very precious, subtle, spiritual concept. And that is the idea of bina, the understanding. The hinemi bina, it comes down to the emotions. Shaharei leidat hamidot hu me'amochen. The birth of the emotions is from the mind. V'zeh b'chinat haruach. And that is the ruach, that's the spirit. Right? So there's neshama, is the deepest level. Is ruach, shehu b'alev. Emotions in the heart. The chevan shebchinat ruach, since this aspect of ruach, spirit, hu chelek mehaneshama atzma, is a part of the soul, lachein yesh bazeh lo rak amidot, it has not only the emotions shenoladim min amochin, which are from the mind, shezeu yitpashtut shel amochin, which means it's a spreading out of the mind, but also another aspect of emotion. Hamidot shebalev shemitzad atzmam. The emotions in the heart which exist there by themselves. Sheheim hamidot hativiim hamesutarim, which are the natural that a person has. Sherat hagilui shelahem. The only thing is that they are revealed hu al yedei hamochin through the mind. Aval heim metziyut bifnei atzma. But they exist in themselves. Therefore, so far, let's just understand what we've got. We've got the level which is above understanding, which is wish. Then we've got wisdom. Then we've got understanding. And understand, and it brings it into an inwardness, and it percolates through every dimension. And that is the neshama. So in its deepest of the three levels, those three levels, it's the deepest one. Then we have spirit. And that is in the heart, it relates emotions which are engendered by the mind, emotions which are illuminated by the mind. Now then we come to the third step, into nefesh. The alev, now, from the heart, nimshach lochol aramach evarim. It comes down, limbs of the body, of the person. Liba palig lochol shayfin. The heart, all the different organs. It's an interesting idea, this. Footnote to the Zohar. that the Zohar spoke about the way the blood round the body. Harvey, I think it was in the 16th, or discovered the circulation of the blood. They knew if you cut someone, the blood pours out. They were somehow thumping away. And that if the heart stops, the person dies. What they didn't realize is the circulation of the blood round the body. But so when the pump was invented, which I think maybe 18th century, and the famous English person Harvey realized that the heart is a kind of pump, and it's pumping blood round the body. Now the Zohar long ago said exactly that. The heart pumps the blood to all the different limbs. And Ashabalabama the Adli Inyana Maase Kamfisha Yeshno Gam, even on an animal level. Ukumoha Tazapsalon, it kicks the pebbles, and the pebbles, because the animal is treading on the pebbles, they get scattered damage, which is discussed by the Talmud. Shigam legabe seichel habehema, even for the mind of the animal, considered a kind of action. Shizeo ashtei shabama said, these are the two aspects of, just as we have two aspects of emotion that he mentioned before. So there's action, chinata maase kamo seichel, there's action which comes from the mind. And there's action which comes about by itself, like because you're walking along, the animal, because it's walking along, its feet, its hoofs on the ground scatter pebbles and little stones and chips to do that. Umikol makom gambo tzarich sheyifal haseichel. Walking along, the mind has to be operating. Uchlalut inyan ha-maaseh ubechinat nefesh. And the general concept of action is the nefesh. B'chol zeh madregat apnimiyim. And all this addresses. So here we're looking, we're sitting in Nicole's room, home, and within Zoom, which enables you to draw things, but it's a bit of a pain. So I'm just going to try and just describe this. To recap, there's still two levels that we have to talk about, which is the higher level, Chaya and Yechida. So at the moment we're talking, and that's Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh. So Neshama is the understanding in the person's mind, the Sphira, and then it comes down to Ruach, which is the emotion, and the action, which is Nefesh. Then, v'nosaf lezeh, in addition to that, and we're on page 9, in addition to that, dependent forces, hachel mimadregat ha-chochma, beginning with wisdom, the lightning flash, she'eno balabait al-zeh, which the person's not master of, it's a sudden comes, it's inspiration, v'lechein eino pnimi, and therefore it's not inward. We're not in control of it. V'zeo inyan makif techaya. That is the first level of makif. Of makif zeo makif hakarov. This kind of makif, this kind of surrounding force, a close surrounding force. V'chamuvan gam izeh, that we understand from the fact she'la'achash ha'avraka, after the lightning, they draw the lightning into our mind, into our understanding, and we become the owner of it. That's the true transcending force. Makif harach, the transcending thing. You can talk about the lower makif, like the garments that a person wears. Garments, they surround us, but they're like close to us. But the room that the person is in, that's the thon shalamayla ma'aseichel legamrei. That's the idea of the will, which is completely higher than Mehaseichel. Not, I don't mean, says the Rebbe, the will which comes from intellect that a certain course of action is right. So then you want, but we're speaking here, and we're talking about will which is above intellect. Umate osto, and that will directs the intellect. Avodat matana etenet kunatchem. That's the idea of God saying, I'm doing a service of a gift to your priesthoods, to everyone. After serving God and being able to respond with the standing, the feeling, and the action, from the world of action to the world of formation and to the world of creation, then there's a higher latana, there's the service of a gift, which is on a higher level, which on the first level is wisdom, the lightning from a higher level is a supernal kind of will. Now, why do I call this a poem? Chapter that we just read. It is, and the way we have these different dimensions within ourselves, very beautiful concept. It's like understanding who we are. Beautiful concept, I think, just to how different qualities are. Now, what it's going to tell us, well, is in very beautiful spiritual terms. And then, and in order to resolve the battle between these two dimensions, right, so that's what the discourse is saying. We need that power of Moses, connection with the divine that comes from Moses. And it's particularly the, okay, so.
The lower makif is chokhmah, is the higher.
It is keter, yes, and keter, crown, is the will.
Thank you.
Yes,
so you have the flash of inspiration and the yichid, which is a will.
No, the will is higher.
The flash is
higher, but it comes down into neshama and shlamut.
So what is this will you're telling me?
That's even higher.
It's higher than inspiration.
It's higher than, it's like the whole concept of the path that God's, that is the upper supernal will. And what is a will which sets the whole pathway, where a framework, where we're going, we have understanding, but it's all set in motion within the context of the divine will. And divine will, as we learn elsewhere, world, there's no effect of the divine. And so it's all taking place within that context.
The levels.
The different lightning flash is higher, which is wisdom.
Okay.
And then on a much higher of the divine, it's which is very interesting. But the will of the divine comes down into the practical laws of the Torah. We're actually connecting to that very highest will.
Yeah. Thank you.
So Tali, so there is this from the concept, but it implies a negative sense. So we just will.
No, Esther, you wanted to say something.
Saw the development of stages, like ages, for example.
I'm very much looking at the individual. So in the Bible, there's something else. Question is, let's see if I've got it right, Esther, to anything biblical like different epochs. Now, I can't remember, it's in this discourse, dreamt of by Nebuchadnezzar. And Daniel had a very striking dream, and he couldn't remember the dream. And Daniel, who was in Babylon, came and explained what the dream to you with a golden head and then a silver neck and then brass and then iron, and this statue represents. I seem to could discourse, there's the idea of putting that together with these different levels and revealing God at that lowest level. Listen, surely our most exalted aspect is our mind. Just stop the mind and the emotions. What does it matter what I do, what I eat, a mix of wool and linen or not mix of wool and linen? You know, these little ideas to come right down. That's the concept. Yes. That's a beautiful question, Rifka. You see, looking on the Torah, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And you've seen it many times, maybe. Suddenly you get a flash of an idea, a further idea about it, something new. And with that, you come to a deep of this piece of divine communication. Anything to that, Babalu?
The going out from Egypt. That's experienced with each person. And then we still are in spiritual life in performance in the national statue in the planet. Another thing is just to point out what makes the Jewish religion a human system. There's a spiritual side and an action of spiritual experience. Whereas the main, ultimate, greatest, and because the spiritual can therefore something that's there, it's an end to itself. That is the object should become a receptacle or a vehicle to experience.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right. So now we're on section Gimel on page Tet, which is line 7. So we've had this whole positive structure. In order that there should be free will, God, just as there are 10, so similarly, the end of Masabuta, the 10 Elish of the Nefesh or Kids, they are moving upwards. He Lamayla, which ascends above. He comes down below. The animal soul has got shame, say, and action. And it's also got the surround. one to do something, look like Ratzon Takif Chazak, the animal, the Asod Davashu Heper Chasech Legamre, to understand Kipat Amalek. That is the Ratzon Shelo Al Pisechu. It is a will act, it is beyond intellect, and it is not pure. Called, now chutzpah is very difficult to translate. Rabbi Lu has a wonderful definition of chutzpah.
You say, say.
So Rabbi Lu's definition, and then he's standing in front of the court, and he must see because he's an
audacity.
This is how Rabbi Lu would explain chutzpah for our teachers, teaching in the Jewish teachers. It was very important for them to know what chutzpah is, the explanation that I heard many times in staff meetings. The chutzpah below taga, the audacity without a crown, the unfounded audacity which comes from without any justification whatsoever, whether there is the quality of will in this negative dimension, yes, and that will.
Is it Satra Achra then?
We could, but you see, once we call it the Sitra Achra, it's easy to say, oh, well, we have to avoid it. We have to be able to locate it and to deal with it.
According to the structure.
Well, you see, that's the difference. You see, Sitra Achra, the whole Kabbalistic system of existence, here we're talking about something within the animal soul and then the aspects of the animal soul. The highest part on the upper will of God, and in the animal soul, which we're humility, its highest dimension in negative terms is in an irrational way to do things which are destructive, even destructive audacity, and that's what drives it. And that can be in, you know, realm, but one can also see it inside one's own heart, one's own being. So the Rebbe explained that this is in order that we section, you know, about the nation coming from wisdom and coming down in action. And here we have the opposite. And this, and now section Dalet on page Yud, Vehine Kedelena win in this battle against Amalek. Yesh Tzorech Benetinat Koach. We need an extra Lebchina El Yonabi Yotev from a higher level. Should gaze upward towards the divine. Right? So that's why. As it explains in Tanya, in the letter of repentance, Shitzarich has to arouse upper mercy, our quality of godliness in one, and also godliness above. Shehem bivchinat galut, that both are in a quality of exile. And we arouse the mercy mishlosh esrei midot harachamim from the 13 attributes of mercy. Shelamayla hold down chaining of the world. Line 14. Val zenema vahayan about that it will be that it was kasher yarim Moshe yado when Moses lifted up his hands with gavai Yisrael. Shakol chose bad yedei aramat yado shel Moshe. What is this? What this means is the name of who called the seven shepherds. In the Talmud speaks about it. The Zohar speaks. He is the special Seraya Mehemna. He's called. But ad sheyesh bechinat Moshe bechol echad miYisrael, Jewish man and woman. Kamosh neema, as it says, Ma Hashem Elokecha shoel neimach. What is Yukim lira? God only wants you to fear him. And the Talmud discusses it, saying it like that. All God wants is that you should fear him. That suggests that Fukhati and Tanya explains that, yes, in relation to the Moses inside of Israel, each one of us have this special quality of Moses. Kambavoa Batanya is explained in Tanya. And it's particularly through Moshe. Shehi tamid b'shlemut, which is done, or a person might have done, Po'alim would draw down Habchina chaining of the world. Sha'al yada yuchal liyot, and through that we are Chemet Amalek, the victory in the battle against Amalek. Ela shebishot, but in order to do this, we need Ha'inyan de yarim Moshe yadot, shezeal derech mashabams. So uya dechem kodesh, lift up your arms towards holiness. So behind that means al yedei su'uya dechem, through lifting up the arms, mitalim lako, higher than the name Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke is not the ultimate of God, but there's also beyond that. Ad sheyachol liyot baruchu et Hashem, that we draw down into that name, that divine name, the Tetragrammaton. So the lifting up of the hands goes very, very high. And that is also the case with Moshe Yadon. And through that one reaches higher than the four letters of the name Yudke Vavke, the Tetragrammaton. And this is expressed in the lifting up of Moses, which is in one's own soul, lifting up the hands. And by reaching that high beyond, and Amalek is the coldness towards everything. And in fact, and this destroying, very interesting discussion by the sages, because it says, Vayishma Yitro, you heard? The Dashur Azal and the sages discuss, Mashmur Shama, what did he hear? That he came to see Moses and the Jewish people. He heard about Milchemet Amalek, that through the battle against Amalek, Magim Lehodad Yitro, we come to that point that Yitro, he was seen as a person who served every idol. He was a spiritual seeker. And he who affirmed, now I know that God is greater than the other gods, and he says, the God of the creation. And so before he makes, the Torah could not be given, as the Zohar says. And that's what it says. His word means extra. The extra quality of light coming from darkness. Specifically through that we come to the giving of the Torah. All right, so this is, that's what it means in the text which is going to be read in the second Torah square in synagogue on Shabbat. That's what it means. Remember what Amalek did to you. The whole idea of remembering Amalek is rid of Amalek and the universe. And the way that works is, first of all, is the idea of God wiping out. And that day, the victory coming about through the quality of and then after that comes the quality of the command, Timche, you will wipe out. Shezeo Nitzachon al Yedei Avodah B'Kol comes the wiping out of negative food without inward is which is acting. And then it's not just the divine sections. V'ad shemagim li'inyan de milchama la'ashem ba'amalek midodo, till we come to the idea of the Amalek from generation to generation. Ulchaferu shatagum, as the Aramaic translates also to the generation of Mashiach. Sh'az yekuyam ha'yiud, Beit Sam l'choshech, God puts an end to darkness. And that end wiping out of Amalek, the viat Mashiach, Sidkei Mashiach, v'karov mamay.
Mike. Boy, beautiful share, Rebbe.